And now, Virgin Most Powerful Radio is pleased to present Hands-On Apologetics with renowned Catholic author and apologist, Gary Matuta.
And welcome everybody, Hands-On Apologetics. You have entered into Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo, and it's great to be with you today. It's beautiful celebrating the Feast of the Assumption of Mary yesterday, so we're going to continue with some high-impact Catholic apologetics. And whenever you say high-impact and apologetics together, one of the first people that come to mind is our guest today, who is none other than our Eastern Rite Catholic apologist, Paul Thomas. He's coming into the dojo. We're just going to talk about raising up apologists. How do you form your family? How do you form your children to be willing to explain and defend the faith with clarity, charity, and confidence? Or, you know, maybe it's your parish family. Maybe you go to a parish that doesn't have very much extracurricular activities. There's maybe a Bible study attended by a few people, usually retirement age. You know, how do you get vibrant interest in explaining, defending, sharing the faith in situations like that? Well, Paul Thomas is going to come on board. He's going to share his experience, his tips. And it's always fun to have Paul on board. He always has a ton to say, and so I'm looking forward to that. He's going to be coming on the other side of this first break. But in the meantime, we got our critical thinking skills to do, and our finding the fallacy, by the way, for today is the judgmental language fallacy. And we also meet an early church father. You know, every episode of Hands-On Apologetics, we do a short introduction to some of the earliest Christian writings, the first 700 years of the church. And it's sometimes we have individuals, sometimes we have documents, and sometimes we even had epitaphs, tombstone writings, if you will, as early church fathers. Well, today's an interesting one. It's a sacramentary. And the early church father for today is the sacramentary of Serapion. So lots of interesting stuff, good stuff in store for us. And as always, you are part of the program. So give us a call, 888-526-2151. That's 888-526-2151, especially when Paul's on the show. It'd be great to hear from you. Also, in case for your mic shy, you can always send us your emails at questions@handsonapologetics.com. And love to hear from you. We've got lots of great emails packing up the dojo mailbox as we speak. And I do answer everyone. And occasionally I will even answer it on the air. And, of course, it's time for our shout-outs. I want to give my shout-out to all those watching live stream via Facebook and YouTube. Hello, everybody. Thank you. Thank you for the emoji explosion there on YouTube. Appreciate it. And also, I want to thank everybody watching, or not watching. Well, you could watch, but it would be dangerous if you're driving, listening on radio or podcast. Welcome aboard, everybody. We're going to talk wall-to-wall apologetics for the next hour. Thank you. Wow, well, very colorful emojis today, I must say. Very festive here in the dojo, at least in the social media section of the dojo. Also, folks, listen up. Next Wednesday is August 21st, and next Wednesday, I'm going to be participating. Hands-On Apologetics is partnering with ClassicalTheism.com and Pat Flynn Show. We're going to do a live event next Wednesday, 7 p.m., August 21st, on YouTube. It's free. Everybody can come. And we're going to talk about apologetics in the 21st century. And I tell you, Pat Flynn, John DeRosa, these guys, they know a lot. They have lots of really awesome stories, and they're great apologists in their own right. So we're going to come on there. We're going to talk about apologetics. We're going to have open questions. It's going to be lots of fun. You don't want to miss it. August 21st, next Wednesday on YouTube. It's going to be live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. to sign up for this, you can get a bunch of freebies. And like I said, you can see some of my books for those watching on YouTube and Facebook. You can see some books behind me. This is a smaller part. I actually have a larger library in the other room. But I spent a lot of money on resources that some of them were very good, but quite frankly, a lot of it was a waste of money. It just didn't work. And so, you know, working through the years in apologetics, I know how important it is to watch your pennies, because books are expensive and you want great resources. So I'm all for freebies. So if you want to get some freebies and also an invite to this event, and by the way, you don't need the invite, but you get the freebies by doing this, go to this. Either go to handsonapologetics.com and click the white banner just under the show banner. It says something like, how would you like to never lose a religious argument again, or something to that effect. Or you could go to classicaltheism.com/August. That's another way to get there. So that's probably a little bit more direct. classicaltheism.com/August. That'll take you to the sign-up sheet. Sign up, you get an ebook. You're going to get an hour-long broadcast that Pat, John, and myself did as a overall apology for the Christian faith and for the Catholic faith. And you also get an invite to a live event. So lots of freebies. Good stuff. All right. So without further ado, why don't we jump to the Finding the Fallacy for today. And the Finding the Fallacy is judgmental language. Now, this isn't just arguing with, not taking a particular position. Obviously, you can't really make an argument without taking a position. But rather, it's different. It's, according to a definition, a popular definition, judgmental language is a subset of the red herring fallacy. If you remember, red herring is argument that throws somebody off track, takes them onto a rabbit trail. It diverts the attention away from the object of the discussion. Well, this is considered a subset of that, and it employs insulting, compromising, or pejorative language to influence the recipient's judgment. This, I think, actually could also be a subset of the non sequitur, since red herrings are also non sequiturs, meaning it just doesn't follow, right? Or it could also be part of a propaganda technique known as loaded language. It could be a subset of that. So what is it? It's where you pack insults, pejoratives, things into your argument, not because that's part of the evidence, but it's made or designed to kind of push the recipient to go along with you. And we encounter this all the time. You know, positions sometimes are labeled, bigoted, homophobe. You could think of dozens of terms that are decidedly negative. And so if you have that loaded within your argument, you're trying to use undue influence that really doesn't involve evidence. It's more just trying to influence the person by using lots of judgy language. Okay. So language can be judgy in many different ways. It doesn't necessarily mean judgy like encouraging people to virtue. It could also be ways of encouraging vice as well. So that's our Finding the Fallacy for today. Judgmental language. Stay away from it, be aware of it, and eradicate it in your discussions. All right. So, without further ado, why don't we meet the early church father? And like I said, today's early church father for today is actually not so much a father of the church as much as a sacramentary of the church. It's the sacramentary of Serapion, which was written around sometime around 8350, thereabouts. What's a sacramentary? Well, a sacramentary basically is a book used for liturgical services like Mass. It's used by the priest, and it contains all the words and only the words that are to be spoken or sung by him. And so it basically is a prayer book, if you will, a prayer book for Mass or the sacraments. So this is a sacramentary of Serapion. Who's Serapion? Well, he's a bishop in Egypt. And if you remember a while back, we talked about St. Athanasius of Alexandria, and that he wrote several letters to Serapion, this bishop in Egypt. And that's pretty much what we know about them, is through those languages. But let's talk a little bit about what the sacramentary is and what it contains, because it's important, because we can point to the early church fathers as showing that the Catholic faith was present even in the earliest centuries of the church. So what is it? Well, in the 11th century, a manuscript was discovered on Mount Athos, and which constitutes a unique, what's called euclolion. Boy, I can't talk today. Or sacramentary or a missal. It's ascribed to Serapion, this bishop in Egypt, and this sacramentary. In Greek, it consists of some 30 prayers and is certainly of Egyptian origin. And like I said, it dates roughly around 350 AD, thereabouts. There are several dates that are given to it, but this one's preferred, according to Jurgen's Faith of the Early Fathers. It contains 30 prayers. The first and the 15th are ascribed specifically in their headings to Serapion, and the rest, in the view of their style and content, are certainly by the same author. So it seems that all of these were authored by Serapion. 18 of the 30 prayers are of a Eucharistic character. 7 concern baptism and confirmation. 3 are for ordination. And 1 is for the blessing of oils. And 1 for funerals. So it's basically a liturgy of the Mass. And it shows a lot in common with the so-called Liturgy of St. Mark as well. So that's our early church father today, the Sacramentary of Serapion. Coming up on the other side of break, folks, our Eastern Rite Catholic apologist Paul Thomas coming up to talk about raising up apologists. Stay tuned.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity, be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
In Luke 7, Jesus said, "I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven her, because she has been shown great love." According to St. John of the Cross, Christians should always remember that the value of their good works is not based on number and excellence. Their value is based on the love for God that prompts them to do the works. May we always be motivated by true love for God, and not worry so much about what we do, but why we do it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. Hands-On Apologetics. And we are going to talk about raising apologists. That is, many of us have families, we have children, we have extended family. How do we light a fire under people to be willing to step out of the comfort zone and defend and explain the Catholic faith? Or maybe you're in a parish. Parish seems to be kind of a somnolent, you know, not the church militant, but the church somnolent. How do you wake them up? How do you get them to be willing to share, defend the faith? Well, we have Master Apologist Paul Thomas coming on board. Paul, of course, you're familiar with him with the program. He's a regular. He's our Eastern Rite, Maronite Rite Catholic Apologist here in Southeast Michigan. Paul Thomas has delivered lots of talks for youth and young adults. He's worked these invert to the faith. And by the way, I'm going to look up that because if you haven't heard Paul's inversion story, I guess you could say, or reversion story, you got to check it out. So I'll get the date so you can check it out on the podcast. Anyway, Paul Thomas, welcome to Hands on Apologetics.
How are you, Mr. Gary?
Oh, I'm doing great. I can't complain.
Praise God.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, boy, I know you're going to agree with me, but it seems like the world outside of the faith is becoming more and more anti-Catholic, more and more anti-Christian. And more people are either against the faith or they just don't care. Is that your impression?
Oh, I mean, I'm a Middle Eastern Christian, so yeah, of course.
Yeah.
It's not something that's unique to us, though, at our time.
Yeah.
As Christians, we've gone through this. The first 400 years of our faith was like this. So our faith was forged through this. But you are right. I mean, they just did a study. I want to say a British study. I don't know if it was a church study that shows Christianity by far is the most oppressed religion in the world. It's the most hated. Now, granted, that's. It is a bad thing, but it's exactly what Jesus said would happen. So
yeah.
It's bad, but it shouldn't surprise us.
Yeah, it seems like the church does best when it's actually in this position. It seems like when in church history, when things are going well, that's usually where we run into lots of problems.
Yeah. No, it forges. It's almost like a crossroad. You either fight to stay or you leave. And the ones that leave, you know, it's Christianity in good times can be fun. You know, that's when you're love and mercy and to the good times. But it's the bad times, the cross that you have to pick up and deny yourself and walk with them. That's what forges a true Christian. And it's hard. It's hard to watch someone die for their faith, let alone die for your faith yourself. And not even dying physically. But just being ridiculed, fired from jobs, not, you know, losing friends, that stuff happens over the faith because of the implications of our faith, if you really believe it, it's an insult to the world. Jesus says, if the world would love you if you're part of the world, but if you're not, the world will hate you. And our faith is not part of the world. It's something antithetical to the world. Now, granted, the world is good. God made it. So I'm not, you know, trying to say everything that's material is bad. But the world itself, I mean, how can you like the faith? I mean, most people here know, you know, when Jesus says, you know, how you follow me, you take up your cross, deny yourself and walk with me. That's really hard to do. It just is. It's hard for believers to do. But that's the position we're in right now. And you know what? The information age is a lot different than any age we've ever been in. Being able to know things, being able to rile up people with anti-Catholic or anti-Christian propaganda is very easy now. It was harder back then when we were the only ones, you know, you'd see us in charities and orphanages and hospitals and colleges and education. That was all from the church. But we're just in different days right now.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, when there was face-to-face contact, you know, where you had to interact with other people, then, you know, it is a lot easier to see people carrying their crosses and exhibiting supernatural charity, like you said, with education, caring for the poor and so on. But yeah, now today, you know, people live in their basements watching, you know, on the computer, watching. Yeah, exactly. And there's not that same kind of interchange, you know, person-to-person, face-to-face interchange.
No, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not a doomsday, Armageddon's coming around the corner, you know what I'm talking about. The end is near. Mm-hmm. Now, Granted, the end is near. Jesus says the end is near. St. Paul said the end is near. We're supposed to be living like we are in the end times, and we have been in the end times of history. Yeah. But today is a very different day. It's very different. The enemy has a lot more freedom to deceive. And the only way you can keep your faith is, and I like how you use the word militant. We are the church militant, not the church militant like ISIS militant. We don't kill people for conversion. But you have to be militant in your faith defending it. You have to, because people don't like the convictions over homosexuality right there can be a linchpin on losing everything to people. Your whole circle of friends, everything you've built just for that one belief you can lose. Getting married and not getting divorced and remarried. Look at the linchpin that's caused in the church, just that one little thing. These are the hard teachings for a modern culture, but this modern culture is not new. Rome was just like this, probably worse. You know, they had rampant pedophilia, and this isn't new. It's the information age, the ease of propaganda, and the way, and me and you have spoken about this, the way they take the gifts that the church gave the world and they try to use them against us, like science. Mm-hmm. And it's to keep your kids doing this, you have to do it. Because, man, there is one thing kids can pick up on is hypocrisy. Wow, do they pick up on it quick.
It's true.
Real quick.
So, absolutely. That's the first step. You know, if you want to raise a family of apologists, or even in your parish, I mean, it applies everywhere. You got to start with yourself, and you got to try to, you know, be as faithful as possible. And it's okay if you fall. It's okay if you make mistakes or you sin, in the sense that you get back up, you go to confession, and you get back on the horse. You know, that's also an example, you know, to other people.
It is. Well, some people see that as a folly. Even other than Catholics and Orthodox Christians, they'll see that as a folly that you even have to go to confession. So nowadays, I mean, you got the Protestants we were dealing with 500 years ago are not the Protestants today. You don't know who you're arguing with, because there's a lot of different theologies and practices. So you really need to know the intricacies of Catholic theology and history. If you read, you're always reading church fathers at the beginning of the show.
Yep.
And I think of all that I've listened to, 80% of them were, their books were against heresies. They were always dealing with some kind of heresy. But it was one heresy. You know, they dealt with Nestorianism, which was a whole group that believed the same thing. Now you're dealing with hundreds, not even Christian heresies. You're dealing with modernism. You're dealing with your different political philosophies and communism and socialism and totalitarianism on a mass scale. And it is going to be hard. I'm not going to tell anyone. You're just going to give someone an argument. It's going to be easy.
Right.
But it is what it is. I mean, my dad always told me Jesus couldn't convert everybody. They killed him in 2 years. So you're not going to convert everybody, but don't be surprised if they try to kill you. I mean, the Lord said this. It shouldn't be a surprise. It just shouldn't.
Right.
Yeah. It's a hard fact to swallow, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, so formation, first, living the faith, you know, exhibiting.
The most important.
How a person carries their cross. And it's heavy. You know, everyone has a heavy cross. It should make you stumble every now and then. Or it's not really a cross, is it?
No.
But also, you know, training virtue, you know, encouraging virtue in your children, in the family, and, you know, extended family, too.
Exactly. You know, I got so blessed. Actually, my boys are listening, Kadeen and Anton, the best kids, man.
Yep.
And I'm not going to come out and say my wife and I are some, like, super parents that monitor everything they watch, and I'm not a helicopter parent. I'm just very real with them. Very real. And I think part of it's a blessing of just who they are. But my boys are so good, and they're so smart. And being a Maronite, they go to catechism at a Latin Rite parish. That's really, I mean, you know, the church I go to.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably 400 to 500 kids in these catechism classes, but with like 25 teachers.
Yeah.
Very orthodox and very a high level of education. So what they're teaching my 11-year-old when I was young, they wouldn't even teach that to high school kids. You know, you don't get into hypostasis and stuff like that. With, I mean, that's stuff that nerds like us talk about.
Yeah.
But they're involved in it. And my boys always, if they're not defending the faith in a sense of just the Catholic faith, they're defending Catholic morality or social justice, real social justice, not welfare justice or stuff like that, but real spiritual social justice. They have it in them. And they didn't get that from reading a book or me just having them read something. They got that by seeing, I'd hope, God willing, my fire.
Yeah.
And boys always look, even girls, they look to their father for that kind of strength. I think the studies show if the father doesn't go to church and only the mother does, almost half fall away from the faith. But if mom and dad both worship, almost all the kids stay in the faith. So it's really up to parents, too. First, you got to raise good Christians before you raise apologists.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. And
then it's hard.
So, but I mean, you're very blessed, and that is a unique situation. Thanks be to God. I mean,
very
blessed. You have it that you have a large catechetical groups there, super uber orthodox. And but, you know, what about parents that maybe they're going to a small parish that there just isn't that kind of resources? How do they train their kids in the faith?
You got us.
Yeah,
you got
that's the way.
Like
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
you know,
social media. Sure.
It brought me back to the faith. I remember when I came back, if anyone heard my story, I came back to Christianity, but I didn't want to be Catholic. That was the last thing I wanted to be. But it was apologists like Catholic Answers, your book. You know, I was willing to go into the fire and get burnt if it was true. So I didn't say I don't want to be a Catholic, therefore I won't even expose myself to their side. So you have to be open. You kind of have to want it, and the Holy Spirit kind of draws you there. I got to say, my upbringing and being baptized and seeing my father, my mom, my parents are like living saints. But as a boy, you look to your father, how he treats his wife, how he works, how he loves his children, how faithful he is. So I did have kind of a, maybe you could call it like a buoy in the water. I had somewhere to aim.
Yeah, very good. So well, we're chatting with Master Apologist Paul Thomas about raising apologists. More on the other side of the break. By the way, if you have any phone questions, give us a call at 888-526-2151. Love to hear from you. Listen to Hands-On Apologetics. I'm Guillermo Chuta. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Barbara Nicolosi, and we're having a women's conference here at the Sacred Heart Chapel in Covina on September 7th, 2019. This is going to be a great, great day for you to come and meet a bunch of new friends, wonderful Catholic women who want to deepen their Catholic faith and their understanding of themselves as women. You know, this era right now that we're in, so much confusion. What is it to be a man? What is it to be a woman? You know, the Catholic Church has a lot to say about this, and we're going to hear about them. We're going to hear about John Paul II's letter on women that he wrote from Mary Danielle Barber. Is going to talk about that. She's going to talk about Mary as a model for all of us. It's a topic that we can never reflect on too much. I'm going to talk about Teresa of Avila and the interior castle and how a mystical marriage is what all of us should be called to or are called to as Catholics in our prayer lives, and especially as women in the church. Aileen Blakowski is going to talk about motherhood and homeschooling. And then finally, we have Father Charles Murray. He's going to be the celebrant of the Eucharist. He's going to be here hearing confessions. It's going to be an amazing day. We're going to have an hour of adoration together, time to pray, time to laugh, and eat, reflect, grow in our passion for our Catholic faith and our identity as Catholic women. You don't want to miss it. You want to come. You want to bring your friends. You want to bring your daughters, your nieces. That's really an affordable day. So go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and you can register for this conference. or call 877-526-2151. The Women's Conference is going to be a great event for the Archdiocese of Los Angeles area, Southern California Catholics. You don't want to miss it.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Jesse Romero. You're listening to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
And welcome back, everybody. We're chatting with Master Apologist Paul Thomas, saying the Eastern Rite apologist, Catholic in his own right. And anyway, we're talking about raising up apologists in the family. And, you know, Paul, right before the break, you mentioned something really interesting, is that, you know, I think it's hard for kids to want to do apologetics, share the faith, defend the faith, if they don't see their parents doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Otherwise, it seems something odd or foreign, or because, like you said, I know your dad, you know, talks about Jesus with every chance he gets.
Yeah. You know, actually, and it's something I pass on to my children. I think my father being, you know, he was 17. He volunteered for the military instead of the draft. So it already showed his courage. Then he spent years doing martial arts. And this is before modern martial arts, where they wore gloves and headgear. It was full contact, like they used to have in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. Full contact fighting. My dad's toes are mangled. His knuckles are, you know, my dad's dark. So his knuckles are white. His fingers have been broken. So he kind of already has the courage. And you know, it takes courage when you get ganged up on by five people and they want to hear these answers. And they're already very apoplectic in their, if that's the proper word, for their attitude. They don't want to hear, they already think they're right. Because there's a lot of anti-Catholic and anti-Christian bigotry. Big time. I argued with a group of people a few weeks ago telling me Jesus was a zombie. And, I mean, come on.
Good Lord.
But still, when you're arguing with a group of people, you don't want to be ostracized by people, especially when you're young. You know, we're talking about children.
Right.
That stuff is hard to stand on your own and have the courage to defend something that is faithful, not fact. You know, I can argue with somebody about math. If I'm right, I'm right. The equation speaks for itself. But when you're dealing with faith, you don't know what, you know, even if other Christians, you know, they accuse us of all kinds of stuff. You know, I worship Mary. No, I don't worship Mary. Yeah, you do. Well, what do you do when someone says that? They know your heart. They know your intentions. They know everything. Well, they don't. So you kind of, apologetics are hard because you have to do them like St. Peter said. You got to do it with gentleness. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, when you love the faith so much, you know, I always tell my kids, you're in Arabic, it's jindallah. You're a soldier for God, not just a believer. You're a soldier. We take up arms, and our arms is our faith and our charity. And let them spit on us. Let you ridicule me. That's easy to say from, you know, my chair, my truck I'm sitting in right now.
Yeah.
It's another thing when it's really happening, you know, the fight or flight kind of thing comes in. But you have to love your faith, not just know it, but love it. And that's the only way you're really going to stand up in the face of especially this generation that we're in that's militantly anti-Christian, and not just America, around the world. Yet the church is still growing. Praise be to God. It's not like we've shrunk. The Catholic Church has watched Rome rise and fall, has watched so many empires rise and fall, and we're still here. We've watched Napoleon, Genghis Khan, Mongol, everyone rise and fall. So you take some strength and pride. And my God, we know the living God. What else do you want? I mean, what can touch me? And right. When you have that attitude, that's also attractive to a detractor. You might think you lost an argument, but you could have won a soul. And it might not be now, but it could be years from now. And you just have to have faith and just let the Holy Spirit help you and be courageous, even if you get laughed at.
Right, yeah.
You gotta be tough.
You know, and I think especially with kids, and especially the teen year kids, you know, they're just naturally combatant. You know, they're itching for fights or complaints or something. You know, and
it's raised teenagers.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, you know, why not channel that natural fallenness into, you know, being combative in a good way, and that you're willing to stand up and explain, defend the faith.
Amen. But it does have to come from home. I think my son's got it because I teach my kids how to fight. I don't really baby my boys too much because you have to kind of be, this is a tough age to live.
Yeah.
And you not strong in a way where you're a bully, but strong in a way where you can defend people from bullies. And that attitude, it goes a long way in apologetics because it sounds like we're arguing, but we're just giving a defense of what we believe. But some people, when they know the faith, you read the catechism is offensive to people. Mm-hmm. How dare you say that's a sin? Well, I didn't say it's a sin. He said it. Jesus said it's a sin. I'm just a messenger. So you can hate on the man who rose from the dead and is God. You can take it up with him. I'm just telling you what we believe. I'm not saying that you're evil, but what is one of the fruits of the faith? We're supposed to admonish sinners. That's not easy. It's not easy at all. In fact, most people run from it. I don't like doing it. But it's, if you're a soldier, if it's the church militant, you have to do it. That's just it.
Yeah, you know, for those who have heard you before, you know, Paul was in martial arts and stuff like that. Do you think maybe as a way to prepare, children to be apologists, do you think it's a good idea to get them into things like that, self-defense, that type of thing?
Yes. You got to get them in the right school because there are, you have both sides of the spectrum. You got schools that are just kind of kiddie schools and they're running around doing jumping jacks at each other with foam swords. That's just not going to teach them anything. Then you have the polar opposite where you go there to beat people up. A lot of the MMA gyms are like that. You get a lot of guys, on my age, not really kids, but you get them in, they're all juiced up and they just want to beat the crap out of people. Mm-hmm. You need to find a school that teaches them martial arts, how to defend themselves and others. And usually once you can defend yourself from a physical attack, it gives you the courage. This is words. We're literally arguing words. You shouldn't be scared, but people are scared to say what they believe. They really do. No one wants people to laugh at you. But you don't care once you... There's something about learning how to fight where you could take care of yourself. And then you want to defend people. My young one's like that. I mean, my older one's like that too, but my young one's more of a scrapper. And he stood up for all kinds of people, for bullies. I can't tell you how proud I am of him. And he's like that with his faith too. They wear their cross wide open. They pray before their meals in public without saying anything. They do the sign of the cross. They pray out loud because you shouldn't be scared.
Yeah.
What am I scared of? All you can do is take my life. You can't take my soul. We're going to die anyway. At least live a courageous, heroic life. I mean, I tell my kids, what novel have you ever read that didn't have any suffering in it? You wouldn't make it past the first chapter. It'd be boring. What, you followed the crowd? I mean, don't follow the crowd. Stand up for the truth, not his truth or their interpretation, the truth. And once you kind of have that conviction and that faith and you have a personal relationship with Jesus, which we do, once you're there, especially if you see your father, I'm telling you, it's a lot on fathers. I think that's a lot of the crisis of faith that we have is it's single-parent households are hard. Heck, two-parent households are hard.
Yeah, right.
It's really hard. And, you've raised, you have adults now.
Yeah.
It's strong fathers really are important. And not just strong, like physically strong, but ones that stay with their wife and suffer with them and raise them up and work three jobs just to support them, but is faithful and loving. And it's not an easy thing to do. But God blessed me because I had a good role model to look after. So I got lucky. And I give that to my sons. And I'll tell you, my sons are going to be little soldiers, man. They're just incredible boys. And I got another one on the way, so I'm a little saint.
That's right. Congratulations. Yeah, so you got your work cut out for you.
Now my wife allows me to tell people.
Yeah, so, yeah, that's interesting. In fact, that's why I call this show, you know, the Virgin Most Powerful's Apologetics Dojo. Because in a way, it's kind of, you know, it's I don't want to say combative. You know, it's not like we go out and beat up.
It's modern day.
But it's kind of self-defense. Yeah, it's
self-defense.
Yeah.
It's Christ's defense.
Yeah, and especially I like judo because, you know, the grappling sports, you use the other person's power against you, against them, you know? And that's a lot like apologetics.
That's my main black belt is Aikido and judo.
Okay. Yeah, so.
That's really the ones I study. And so I can only give you what you give me. So if you give me a soft attack, I can only throw soft. If you throw real hard, I got to reciprocate. Mm-hmm. But really in apologetics, you have to really, I mean, I'm sure you've been doing this for decades, and I bet you sometimes you still get stumped. Because is so big, and there's so many different theologies and so many different interpretations of Scripture now that some people come out of left field, and they'll take five verses, and really, if you're ignorant about the whole of the church, things can confuse you. I mean, even like the saying Bible church, like the Bible came from the church. The church existed before the Bible. So you wouldn't argue a Muslim from the Bible. You'd argue a Muslim from the Quran. You wouldn't argue with a Jew from the New Testament. You would from the Old Testament. Now, granted, the New Testament would be intertwined in it because that's their prophets.
Right.
But you have to know other faiths on top of yours. So really, I don't think you ever stop learning how to be an apologist. You sort of just refine yourself as you go.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, and folks, don't be scared by that. Don't be intimidated because if you don't know something, just say, I don't know, and go look it up or go talk to somebody who knows, you might know the answer. And, you know, that could be another thing for raising up apologists in the home. Let your kids know that, you know, if they're out there discussing the faith, if they get stumped, they can come back to mom and dad and we'll look it up and, you know, arm you and send you back out. But, you know, I hear the music coming up, Paul. On the other side of the break, we'll continue the discussion about raising up apologists in your home and also in your parish. Listen to Hands On Apologetics, and we're chatting with Paul Thomas. More to come on the other side of the break. Stay tuned, folks.
Welcome, Daniel. You're on the line. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, I just wanted to share a testimony about Virgin Most Powerful Radio. I had a buddy at work who, you know, he's a lukewarm Catholic guy, and I wanted him to start listening to the Terry and Jesse show, so I kept telling him to download the app, and he kept putting me off. So one day, I grabbed his phone, and I downloaded the app for him. I went on vacation, and you know, I kept telling him to listen to it. He was kind of put me off. I came back from vacation. He comes to my cubicle and he says to me, hey, man, I've been listening to Terry and Jesse's show and it's great. And it's made a big impact in his life. The guy, he's going to weekly adoration a couple times a week. He goes to the mass in the morning. Mm-hmm. He's an on fire Catholic and he promotes the Terry and Jesse show and the Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Wow. Daniel, what a testimony. And I want to encourage our listeners to get those cards by going to virginmostpowerfulradio.org and do what Daniel's doing. Go out and spread the faith by inviting people to listen to Virgin Most Powerful. Daniel, thanks for your testimony, brother. God love you.
You're welcome.
This is Terry Barber reminding you, there's a women's conference coming up September 7th, 2019 at the Sacred Heart Chapel. Mary Danielle Barber will be speaking along with Barbara Nicolosi. They're going to be talking about true femininity. Be who you are. This is going to be for your daughters, your mothers. Every woman should be at this conference. And the way to do it is go to virginmostpowerfulradio.org or call 877-526-2151.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Machuda. If you'd like to join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Gary.
And welcome back, everybody. We are talking with our Eastern Rite Catholic apologist, Paul Thomas, about raising up apologists in the home and also in the parish. And Paul, you know, let me set you up for this, because this is something I tried to do as much as I could when my kids were growing up. But if you're reading something like apologetics and you find a cool article, you know, don't just keep it to yourself. Share it. In fact, you know, I'll say, wow, that's really cool. And they'll be like, well, what, Dad? What's so cool? And I said, well, this answer to this objection. And I say, hey, what would you say if someone came up to you and said, whatever, you know, Catholics worship statues, okay, and put the kid on the spot and have them kind of sweat and give some answers and then say, well, this is the cool thing I read in the book. They said, you know, they explain it like this. And they're like, okay. Because, you know, it's kind of like you turn your home into your, like, little mini dojo where you can train so that when you're on the streets, it's all muscle memory. You just instinct. You know what to do, what to say.
Yeah. And for that answer, just refer to the Seventh Ecumenical Council. The end. Nerds will understand what I said.
Yeah, but no one else outside the faith would, though.
I know. Oh, boy. I love this show.
Yeah, so you know, parents shouldn't be afraid to be a little pushy, a little combative, you know, in play,
no,
you know, in fun.
No, you should be. Who else is better to challenge than your parents? At least your kids know you're not against them. You're challenging them. And you know, the best thing is when your kid stumps you. Because I found children, they look at things so simply that, you know, as apologists, we tend to get really deep. You know, you start thinking about typology and you're digging really deep and they see these broad things on the surface. You know, there's a saying, you don't ever look to the youth for wisdom, but sometimes their ignorance really hits you deep with a simple question. And
oh yeah,
I think we not undercut, but we really don't see how much they crave wisdom, not just you know, intellectual answers or information or even facts. You can know what it is, but they want to know why it's like that. You know, what's the rationale behind that dogma? What's the rationale behind, you know, mandatory priestly celibacy? I answer that one all the time, and I come from a unique place because in the Eastern Rites it's an option, it's not mandatory,
right?
So this people from the outside look at that and they start thinking, you know, the Latin Rite is a denomination and we have these disagreements and just these simple things. That is really good, though. It's actually something I will start telling my kids. Maybe you got to start challenging me once a month. Make it a chore.
Yeah. No, and you know what? Kids love it. They respond.
They do.
I do that for youth groups. You know, I go up there, I say, hi, my name's Gary. I'm a Protestant pastor down the road. Here's why Catholicism's wrong, and I just hammer them. And you know what? The kids love it. They come out of their seats. You know, they respond. And it's usually the kids that normally are sitting in the back and don't respond. Those are the ones that suddenly, you know, they want that challenge.
They want to be engaged. And you know, what do kids really always want? They want to be grown-ups, which is funny because once you're a grown-up, you just want to be a kid. You know, it's really weird. But they if you treat them like grown-ups. No, I mean, not let them drive your car and drink beer, grown-ups.
Right.
But there's, you've met my kids. They're so well-rounded. But that's kind of how I parent. I don't baby them. I talk to them like adults. I reason with them. I intellectually challenge them. You know, when they do something wrong, I don't just spank them and say, you did something wrong. I sit and reason with them. What am I supposed to do? Look what you did. What would you do if someone did this to you? And usually 10 minutes later, they come out and say, bye, you're right. I'm sorry. They understand. But I think you should kind of dump that kind of stuff on your kids, especially the parents. And again, especially the father. They got to see a tough man, a tough, loving man. Mm-hmm. And they kind of model themselves after that. I mean, you get your scraggler. Some kids are like me. Look at who I modeled, and you guys heard my story. Where the heck did I stray from? But I came back.
Yeah. That's a very good point, too. Because you can give your kids all the tools in the world and the best training in the world. And it's really up to them whether or not they take up their cross and follow Jesus or they don't, you know, but God willing, you know, that also plants seeds in the future. So maybe when they wise up, you know, they're kind of like the prodigal son who spends his inheritance and wises up. And then they know where to go, where the truth is.
And they can use that, too. I mean, I used it. I wouldn't be half the man I am today if I didn't stray, because I'm able to use it in my ministry and in my teachings. I understand evil because I was on that side. So that's how God turns everything bad into good. All you have to do is ask. And all of a sudden, all these things that you learned that were bad, you're able to make good fruits out of it. So I'd say turning your kids into real Christians, not just sacramentalized, but really burning for the faith and seeing God everywhere. From there, I just think that's going to be your natural progression, especially nowadays. You're going to be attacked for it all the time, so you better learn how to defend it.
Yeah. Oh, that, you know, that's such a great point, Paul. You know, seeing God everywhere. That's something so simple that parents can do. You know, if prayers are answered, bring it up. Tell your kids about it. You know, say a prayer of thanksgiving together with your kids. You know, just, you know, God's providence. Just, you got to kind of point them to see God is working in our lives. See what God is doing.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's, you know, that now I always use this analogy. It's trying to explain the color red to a blind man.
Yeah.
Words can't explain color. So there's certain things that we're limited with our senses to explain. You can't explain red. It's impossible. It's something that can only be seen with eyes. And Jesus says, you see, but you're still blind, and you hear, but you're still deaf. You need to be able to get that veil off. And even past that, you know, I have vision with my eyes, but once you see him, like really see him, you can't not see him. Just when you see a painting of a sunset, it's art. You can't believe how beautiful it is. But you drive by that same thing in reality, but you don't see it as art. You just see it as a sunset. Mm-hmm. There is art around you. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
Once you see that, you can't leave it. And then your heart just burns because you know your life is short. You know, this isn't forever. You're lucky if you get 50, 60 years. It goes by so quickly. So your life has meaning and purpose. And, you know, once you see him and you know him, then you can suffer. We all suffer. You know, you're walking with your kid holding his hand and he falls down and breaks his leg and falls in a puddle. I didn't do it to him. I just pick him up and heal him and hold him and love him. And I hold his hand down the trail.
Yeah.
So God is not hurting you, nor is he, you know, causing bad things to happen to you. But he's there when the bad things happen, because they happen to everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
That is, you know, it's God's grace, of course, that opens the eyes. But, you know, I know with me, my youth, I was totally oblivious. And my wife will say I'm still oblivious to everything. But, you know, it's important for parents to train their kids to see, you know, God's acting. Because if you don't, they're just going to miss it. They're just going to sit down with their, you know, play system and, you know, play games and watch TV and miss like God's interaction. And then when they grow up, it's like, well, yeah, God's like a fairy tale, like the Easter Bunny or something like
that. Yep. Because, and they'll be led away.
He doesn't act in my life.
And they'll be easily led astray by every, what did Jesus say? Every wind of doctrine.
Yeah.
They'll easily be picked off by New Age. And I love Eastern spiritualism. Like, you guys do know Christianity is an Eastern religion. It didn't start in England. It started in Asia, in the Middle East.
Right. If
they're so attracted to Eastern stuff, like, well, Christianity is Eastern. It is mystical.
Yeah.
Which is what one thing I love about being Catholic, because I'm Eastern. You find, you know, the Latin rites kind of more scholastic and philosophical, where the East, especially the Byzantine East, is really mystical. Mm. It's a mystery, but it's grand how big God is. He's bigger than ideas. He's bigger than philosophy. He's bigger than everything. And if you can't comprehend him, and something you can't comprehend, it's like a video game you never beat. You keep playing it.
Yeah.
A game that you beat, you play it once, you put it away, and you start another game. So God was smart, you know. He got it. What did Peter Crave say? God who is love stoops to conquer. He has his way of wooing each person. You just have to hear him and have the will to say yes. And that takes courage, too. This whole thing comes down to courage to be an apologist. You have to have courage and conviction.
Right.
And your kids got to see it.
Yeah. If you don't have it, pray for it.
That's it. It's hard. Who likes being ridiculed and laughed at and made fun of?
Right.
And as a Western person, woo, you got Christians in the Middle East losing their heads and their children, being thrown in jail. You look at Africa, Boko Haram, they've killed 37,000 in the last 5 years. We have it lightly. I mean, being spit on is really not that bad. So, I mean, our cross is light in the West. So we should joyfully walk with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Paul, I can't believe it. The hour has just flown.
I can.
It's crazy. Boy, it's always great to have you on the show. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Well, not as much as me. Thanks so much, Gary.
All right. Paul Thomas, everybody, our Latin Rite apologist. And great stuff, you know, things to certainly take note and raise up, you know, let's raise up an army of people who are willing to explain, defend the faith, and engage in this thing we call apologetics and also evangelism. And talk about apologetics and evangelism next week. I am going to be gone Monday and Tuesday, but we have a couple of great guests. Wednesday, we're going to have Dave Palm. Thursday, Ken Hensley. And then Friday, Dr. Janet Smith is coming to the dojo. So that's really exciting. I can't wait for next week. Also, don't forget, folks, next Wednesday, August 21st at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live YouTube event. It's going to be me, John DeRosa, Pat Flynn. We're going to be talking about apologetics in the 21st century. It's going to be a lot of fun, live Q&A. And like I said, if you sign up at classicaltheism.com/August, you can get a whole bunch of freebies just for getting a notification that it's on. So please avail yourself of that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Coming up next, the dynamic duo of Catholic Talk Radio, the Terry and Jesse Show, coming at you. And, man, this is the fastest hour in Catholic Talk Radio, I tell you. It's time for me to shut down the Midwest Command Center, turn off the dojo lights. I want to thank everybody for listening. And God willing, we'll be back next week for this thing we call Hands-On Apologetics. Thank you so much. Have a great week. Bye-bye.
In the 1990s, I lived and worked in Hollywood. But when my wife Betty's mom took ill, we relocated to Orange County. And it was during this time in our lives that I converted to Catholicism. Once my eyes were opened to the truth, I couldn't learn enough about the faith. But I had less free time than ever, especially with a long commute. That's when I discovered the real value of Catholic audio. Listening to cassette tapes transformed my daily commute into a miniature retreat. And that's the beauty of Virgin Most Powerful Radio today. Since the podcasts are archived, you can listen anytime on our smartphone app. I know how listening to Catholic audio can bring you closer to Christ and His Church. So I encourage you to visit the App Store or go to vmpr.org and download the app today. It just might change your life. I'm Matthew Arnold for Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.